Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
Hey, everybody. It's another episode of P4P Real Talk, and this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. This is a special episode. This is a Sunday edition, special edition, and we have a man that's been through quite a bit, been through quite a lot, and, you know, regardless what happens in our lives, things change, and we have to, you know, we have to adjust and get ready. And, you know, there's no guarantee how things are going to work out. But, you know, there's always a way to find a way. And that's just having to dig deep. And this young man, well, this man has found that way and then some. And he's been through some really, really difficult circumstances that just basically change your life. And a lot of times we have to either, you know, get better or get worse. And it's a choice we have to make. Then and there, of where that road's going to go. And if we're not prepared to take on life's challenges, sometimes, you know, we can be run over. And then there's times when, you know, we can overcome. And that's what happens more than we'd like to admit, but it happens an awful lot, and we just have to be ready for life's different changes, you know, and it doesn't happen all the time. But it does happen with some dramatic things that come in our lives and change everything up. And this man has, you know, I can liken myself to something that had happened, but I can't liken myself to everything that happened with him because, you know, I'd been in an injury, life-changing moment where, you know, life had just changed and things were all kinds of crazy. And I just remember waking up and looking over and seeing, you know, just craziness and all kinds of insanity and trying to make all of that make sense. And you don't know what's going on. You don't know how things happen. You just know that when you open your eyes, everything's different and you're just hanging on to life by a string, and all of that changes in an instant. And this man has gone through that and then some. Daniel, are you there?
I'm online, yes, sir. How you doing?
Yeah. I was just letting everybody know what was going on, and you know that life changing event, and all the things that you struggled with to get back to being, you know, not just a pro bodybuilder, but just back to being a person that's doing something in life. But first, I'd like to say Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much, and Happy Father's Day to all the listeners who are fathers, and that's something to be really proud of.
Yes, it is. And, you know, you've got a very interesting story, you know, dealing with being a dad, dealing with being a husband, you know, just dealing with being a man. And found a way when it seemed like it was no way. So if you don't mind, you know, introduce yourself to everyone and then let everyone know what we're talking about.
All right. My name is Daniel Strong. I'm from Waldorf, Maryland. I'm 41 years old. Became a professional bodybuilder in 2014. I'm a gym owner. I have my own gym in Waldorf as well, and also a personal trainer. And as Keelan has kind of hinted to, I've definitely had my share of struggles on my journey up to this point. I don't know if he wants me to go into any particular part of my journey, but I'd be happy to share any part of it.
Please do.
Anywhere you want me to start out with in particular, or just go where I'm led?
Well, just go where you're led, because this is your story, and that, you know, this is your time.
Okay. I started out very young with bodybuilding, playing football in high school, and I had more of a love for bodybuilding or weightlifting at that time than I'd had for football. I was very talented with football. Ninth grade year was put on varsity. But when they introduced us to the weight room, that's really where my love was. I like to feel the weights, and I love to see the what I would call metamorphosis, where, you know, as you continue to lift, you saw body parts kind of change and get not only stronger, but more defined or larger. So it really started then. That's where my love for, you know, weightlifting and bodybuilding started. And at 18, I did my first show. It was a Mr. Annapolis, and did very well at that show. Won first place. Had a chance at that time. Anybody who's familiar had a chance to meet Kevin Lavone back then, and he was he was from Maryland. Had a chance to train with him. Just a lot of things that along the path. So again, started lifting. Continued to compete later on in life. In my 20s, did some shows. The Yanni Schomburger show that was in Maryland. Of course, that was still NPC show back then. That was East Coast Grand Prix, and I won the novice division completely, and I won first place in the open. Did some AAU shows, but so it was just building up over time. And of course, met my beautiful wife at the time, Sandra. And, you know, I continued to lift, continued to personal train and work at gyms. And then she and I, we had a child. And then as she was pregnant, we decided to take a journey to see my old Sunday school teacher, which was also my godmother in North Carolina. The first visit was a beautiful visit. We went down, and I was in the midst of trying to get my gym started. We talked, and I came back. The second trip, unfortunately, was when the devastating accident happened. We were traveling down, and unfortunately, I lost control of the vehicle. We flipped on our side. At that time, my wife was alive. We had a conversation, and I was looking for a way where I was going to get everyone out of the vehicle as the vehicle was abandoned on its side. But unknown to me, we were in the middle of the street with the car or the truck flipped over. And a tractor trailer came at that time, full speed, said that they could not see us and hit the vehicle. And of course, that accident was what brought about the various injuries to my body, and then of course also the death of my wife. I can just tell you that was a pain that I never desire to go through ever again. Somewhat hard to describe. I remember telling people that physical pain, you know that it sometimes it usually diminishes, it usually subsides, or you may even be able to take medication to help buffer it or take it away. But emotional type pain that's deep inside of you, I can tell you sometimes that's the worst pain to have, because it seems like there's no remedy for it. And my wife, she was, I mean, everything to me. We were best friends, lovers. I could talk to her about anything. We were just truly, you know, if what I had in my mind of marriage and a wife, mm-hmm. that was exactly it. I couldn't ask God for better or for different. That was just so ideal. And it was truly a hard thing to deal with. At first, the loss of her, and then as the smoke started to clear, just to deal with the physical part. I know people see my amputation on my right hand side, on my right side, but on my left side, I also had, there's a rod in my tibia. My fibula and tibia were completely fractured. They put a rod in the tibia and it's, you know, it remains with some pins, but also I had a fractured, sacrum and pelvis as well. And about 5 broken ribs and a lacerated spleen. So there's a whole lot of, it was a lot of impact. It was a lot of injury. In that accident.
It was an overall yes. injury. I mean, it's not, I mean, people look at the leg and say, oh, that's terrible, but there was plenty more to that.
Oh yes. Oh yes. I mean, the emotional side, it just left me with, quite honestly, not wanting to live. I never thought I would experience a moment where you actually feel like life is done.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like I didn't have any more in me to give. Even losing, of course, losing body parts, losing my wife, and then losing my unborn child. And that was something we were so looking forward to. Prior to the accident, we had just gone to the obstetrician, and he had just told us, well, you know what? By the time you all come off your trip and come back, we'll be able to see exactly what the baby is. I'll be able to tell you some good information. So, you know, there was just a whole lot of anticipation and joy wrapped around that came to a dead end. So, of course, as I began my healing process, I thank God for my family, my mom and sisters in particular, who really took care of me like a baby. I mean, I couldn't use the bathroom on my own. I could not move or walk. You know, I was bedridden for a while, and then after that, it was a wheelchair. So all those things really play on you psychologically, emotionally. You're trying to figure everything out at one time in terms of what will my life be at this point. Everything has changed as I know it. I mean, not only my life, my circumstances, my body. Oh my God, everything. You're trying to put so many things in order, and there's no way that you can deal with them all simultaneously. So I really started to just, in the true sense of when people say take one day at a time, I really had to do that. It really had to be just get through today. You know, whatever's needed to get through today, and then when tomorrow comes, take care of tomorrow. And even with the various thoughts of how would I deal with the loss, how would I deal with still raising my other children, how would I deal with work and my body and just everything, I started to just try to take one thing at a time and kind of deal with that. And then when I came to my end of, you know, thinking with that particular thing, then I might take on something else because it was just honestly too much to bear. And I just believe that supernaturally, I also had assistance from God because I believe, quite honestly, there is no way that I could have, I feel like, just completely on my own gotten through this. And there was no part of me that even thought about bodybuilding ever again. My goal was just to, if I could even capture a little bit of normalcy in life. So I started going back to the gym. My gym had only been open for 1 month at this time, so I did not know what would happen. I started to question myself in terms of, you know, who's going to want a handicapped guy to train them? Right now I'm in a wheelchair. Sometimes I'm walking on crutches. I hadn't yet been able to get my prosthesis because I hadn't healed up enough. So all types of thoughts were pervading my mind in terms of how I was going to deal with this, how I would, you know, make a living. But people had known me from the past, and thank God I had a good reputation from the past, and so people started to come for training and people started to join the gym, and that started to lift me little by little. I started to work out again, very lightweight. I had lost so much weight. And as I began to build my, lost so much weight. And as I began to build myself up, I remember one time a gentleman coming to me and asking me, finally I'm standing and I'm lifting. He's like, you ever think about competing again? And a part of me almost got upset because I said, competing again? I said, man, I've got a leg gone. I'm just lucky to be in the gym lifting and trying to work out again. But he planted a seed, because when he said that, it made me think, you know what? This is one thing you haven't conquered yet. Up to that point, I had gotten back to, you know, just driving and playing drums again and riding my motorcycle again. So there were certain things I had conquered, but that was one that I hadn't. And it really made me think about it. It made me really think hard that, you know what, that's something. Can you do it again? So, of course, I started to kind of secretly, you know, start to train a little harder, and I had a show in mind, and that's when I did the Maryland State and fared well in that. Came back the next year and did the Jay Cutler, and that's when I met up with my cousin, and his name is Donovan Strong, and I know a lot of people in the natural bodybuilding world know Donovan. And it was so funny, Donovan and I are cousins, but we met later in life.
How crazy is that?
And, you know, it's just how ironic life, God, however you want to call it.
But God.
It's very ironic, because here it is. We're cousins. We were both doing the same thing over many years, but we never really crossed paths until this point. And Donovan suggested to me, he said, hey, Danny, you know what, with your story, everything you've been through, you're natural. He said, look, I suggest that you find one of the natural organizations, maybe the ones I compete with, and try to get your pro card. I believe you can do it. If you really diet longer, let me help you. So I solicited his help, and of course he was more than happy to help me. And I tell you, he gave me a nice, slow, long diet prep, which was one of the best things for me. It just really strengthened me, like, mentally and physically, to know that I could do it. And through his help, honestly, and of course hard work, I felt like I had gotten into the best condition I had ever been in before. And, of course, went to the Philip Ricardo in 2014, and I won that show against Able Body competitors.
That's a classic.
Yes, it is. And I tell you, that brought me so much joy. To be honest, it ranks with one of the happiest times in my life. And matter of fact, me talking about it now, I'm kind of emotional and brought to tears, because
that's relief.
When you really think that all is lost, there's no hope. There's no way you'll ever regain any part of your life back. You can't leave yourself in that state. You have to just build yourself up one day at a time and tell yourself you can recapture it. It may not come overnight, but you can be happy again. You can do some of the same things you did before, if that's your desire. There's nothing that you cannot do. If you really set your mind on it, there's nothing you can't do.
And one thing that you're saying, and I'm so glad you're saying it, because you're talking from the spirit, and I appreciate that, is that you're saying you could be mentally whole again.
Yes. And I tell you, if it wasn't for, you know, like you said, speaking from the spirit, that's what I have to go on. And, you know, I was so happy to compete with the IMBA and PMBA. I haven't tried any other natural organizations as of yet, but it really, they really were a great group of people for me. Very welcoming. very, very loving. You don't always get that in competition. And though we are there to compete, and that is the fun part of it, the rivalry and the, it's still nice that I could say here, you know, even with competing in the Natural Olympia, and I did, of course, the physically challenged standing, but I also did the open. The love that I received from the guys, and though we were there to compete, there was still that balance of kind of like, you know, we're competitors, but we're also friends, and we're brothers in the same sport. So,
that's right.
You know, it's not that I can't say a word to you or I have to, you know, walk around with my head up. I can still speak to you, you know, and I really like that about the organization. I mean, I tell you, when the first show I did, I had Philip Ricardo and Kiyoshi come to me, and they were so, you know, they really show so much love, and I really appreciate that. They were very encouraging, and they really helped me to set my mind for to continue to compete that year. So, you know, many times, man, you know, especially as men, we like to feel strong, and that is part of our DNA. But many times we need encouragement from each other. And that encouragement can go a long way. Sometimes you just don't know what it means to another man for someone else to come up and say, hey, man, you're looking good. I see your improvement. You know, hey, don't stop. And really what you get from that, it really fuels you to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
It really fuels you to go forward.
When you're having somebody like Donovan, and, you know, he's a powerhouse in his own right, and then you got Rico in your corner, and you know, you're doing his show, and he's one of the most humble pioneers that we've had in the industry. And then you got somebody like Kiyoshi Moody, you know, telling you, that's got to be an awesome moment. You know, let's put bodybuilding to the side. You know, when you think about everything that's happened, and you got people with those kind of strong mental spirits and that kind of energy where they driving themselves to a point, and then they can help you along the way. That's got to be a great thing.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I couldn't explain the joy and the joy, the satisfaction, the peace, everything that came from that moment. It was just, it was unreal for me. It really was. It was unreal for me.
And you know, as a fellow, a survivor of a devastating accident, I can tell you the one thing that you might have glossed over, but unintentionally, because you know that's something you get through and then you basically put behind you, is the rehab. When you know, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of swelling, there's a lot of broken bones.
Yes.
A lot of everything, and it's like, like when you're saying one day at a time, I was like one bone at a time. It seemed like there's just so much that has to happen mentally before you ever get out that bed.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, sometimes even with me, I still have to, you know, there's still trials and tribulations that you will still encounter, and you have to pull back on the strength that you used or that you had to get you through sometimes the biggest, you know, situation you've had in your life. So there are times even now where I run into, you know what, here's a situation I'm encountering, and I have to pull back and just remember, hey, you had the strength to get through that. You can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Apply that same logic, apply that same strength in theory, you know. Yep.
Yeah, and I can't imagine how people can just overlook how much their mind has to work before that muscle gets worked once. It's like it's so much of a normal part of a day that we don't think about those things that we have to do mentally before you even grab one weight to make it actually, you know, like you said, even though you had muscle memory, the will to want to do it has to come back.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That, I mean, if anything, you probably, that might be the biggest statement of all. You hit it. If you don't have the will to want to do it, the potential really just lies there without anything putting it to use. So that's really what had to come back, the will to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what really had to come back.
And like you said, you know, you still got to be the work. You still got to be the a gym owner. You still got to be a dad. You still got all these things. And that's still part of something that you got to get used to again. And it's, I mean, when you're saying what you're saying, you can see that you're past it because, you know, it's like secondary thinking. And secondary thinking is always a good thing because you know you moved on. It's when that all your focus is still stuck on sad, then you know you got some work to do. But you've done a lot, and God bless you. You've done a lot, and I can't even fathom the heartache. I can't fathom the emotional side of it. You know, I dealt with the physical, but thank God it was just me. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine that point where you look over. Because, you know, for me, my arm was so busted up that I didn't know if I had an arm or not. You know, I looked over and there was no arm to see.
Right.
So thank God that, you know, it was just so broken up that they had to use it for a pillow. But that was just the physical side of it. To look over and not see your other half, I can't imagine. I really can't.
Oh, yes. But, you know, it definitely speaks to the overcoming spirit that God puts in all of us, you know.
Yes.
We just have to put it to work. And you know, that's not to say we won't have our down days, but
yes.
He's given us the spirit to be able to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He's definitely given us that spirit to be able to fight through and overcome. Most definitely.
And it definitely makes a difference, you know. I honestly, when we were planning this, I didn't think about Father's Day. I didn't think about any of this. I was just trying to get a day where you could get a chance to speak and share, because there's so many people, you know, that are, you know, even on social media today where they're posting pictures of the dad that was, not the dad that is, the dad that was. And, you know, if they ever, by the grace of God, that would have been you. You know, and the fact that you're still here and actually living up to your last name so much better than most men would ever dream. It's just amazing. And
I really appreciate it.
No, my brother, you've done some amazing things. And, you know, the lives that we change when we decide that, you know, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, it's a humble way of saying it, but it's the truth. I can't, you know, and it just stop right there and then put dot, dot, dot afterwards. I can't. And I'm sure, like, you know, the rehab was arduous. I know it was. I've been there. The parents and the siblings having to take care of you are embarrassing but humbling. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the times when you want to, because they're doing so much, and you still got to take that back seat because you can't drive just yet. And when I say drive, I'm talking about, you know, mentally and physically be able to do for yourself.
That's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. It's definitely a humbling experience. It definitely is.
But you get to see the love.
Yes, you definitely get to see that. And you know, that's something in and of itself that helps fill you up as well, just to know you have people around you with that type of care and love. And, you know, not only do they say it, but they're demonstrating it.
Yes. Amen. I love you.
Amen.
Thank you. Because there's a lot of lip service now, and social media has created a mini demon, what I call it, where, you know, the love word is thrown around so much. You know, the intent is not real, because, like you said, when the chips fall down, it's going to be some running, but it ain't going to be to you.
That's true. That's absolutely right. You hit it. You hit it.
You have your gym, and you're starting back with that. And
yes.
You know, how did, because this is the thing, and, you know, most people think you got to put on this fake face, you got to put on this fake personality, because it's gym person, and then there's, I mean, I don't want to say gym, work person, and then home person.
Mm-hmm.
How did you keep from doing that mental juggling act where you could still be you at the gym and at home?
You know, I'll see if I have a proper way of answering it for you. But, you know, I've always believed in being authentic. And, I always felt like I was the type of person, what you see is what you get. So I never had to go through a lot of thought or give a lot of thought to that. When I'm at work, you know, I just try to do the best that I can with trying to help other people, inspire other people. But, you know, when I'm at home, I try to, you know, just be a good dad to my kids and take some time out for them and so on. You know, when this leg gets tired, I take it off and let it rest. And I even do so at the gym. Many of my clients and members are used to seeing me pop the leg off for a few minutes. And, you know, I might be sitting down at one spot instructing someone, but just giving it a rest because maybe I'm tired because I've worked all day and then I've trained myself and trained others. Sometimes the leg has a mind of its own, so I'll need to take it off. And, you know, I'm not afraid, thank God, now to show that side of me, which some people would feel, you know, that's kind of a vulnerability, you know, but it's who I am now. So, you know, if I get tired, I pop that leg off for a little while, let it rest. And, you know, once I feel okay, I put it back on and start from where I left off.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you touched on something else. It's kind of taboo, you know, that, you know, you're really not supposed to show your weakness, especially
exactly.
in this country.
Exactly.
Know,
and
go ahead.
No, you hit it. And I did deal with that, especially early on with my amputation. I really never wanted to take my leg off. I didn't want people to even know I had an amputation. And I think that's mainly because it's looked upon, I felt it would be looked upon as, he's not like everybody else. He's different.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a weakness. So, you know, you really have to build yourself up emotionally and spiritually and psychologically to be able to deal with that and accept exactly who you are, your strengths and your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's another hurdle, you know, that you basically have to come to grips with.
Most definitely. I mean, with the leg, you know, oftentimes, you know, you're walking around, you could get to a spot, at least for myself, where, you know, it's hurting. I need to take it off for a little while. I need to just give it a break for a second. And I could be anywhere when that happens. And, you know, just having the confidence to do that and not be so worried or preoccupied about the thoughts of others or what someone might think or how, you know, someone's looking at you and you're worried about how they perceive you or what they're thinking. After a while, you have to learn to just put that to the back and not worry about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think one of the blessings in that is learning your own inner strength. Is that you do see the weakness of others, not that they're weak-minded, but this is something that they have yet to address in their own mind. It had nothing to do with you.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
so, you
right.
Know, when dealing with all these things, you know, there's always that backdrop, you know. I'm sure people were not meaning to do it, but I'm sure they came at you with the what if and if only. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you, like you said, on those down days, those words hit a little bit harder. And, you know, and then there's times where you have to just, you know, basically put a stop to it, you know, because you realize you got to go forward.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
So, honestly, Daniel, I'm just amazed. It's I really, like I said, this is this is a Father's Day, and I think God had in the midst, because I sure wasn't looking at it at the schedule, but I'm just so thankful that you had asked, and we were able to get this worked out, because this is a special Father's Day for me, because I've been walking around, you know, my dad has passed, so it's there was planning in there, and like you said, there's heartache is heartache.
It's
gonna be what it is, and you don't let it kill you, but it's like, because I've said a lot of times in life, you shouldn't be afraid to love.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if it hurts, that just shows you the value of a human life.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
You know, a lot of us are scared to love simply because we know that these people won't be with us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're not really living, because love is life.
You're right. You're right. I mean, definitely, if you don't love, you're definitely not living. You're definitely not living. So I mean, love is an integral part of life. So it's something that you have to, you know, allow yourself to do.
As much as it might hurt, you know, that's secondary. That's what I call it, secondary, because the love you feel at the time is so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And you talking about your best friend, you know, just tell them a little bit about your wife, so we can understand just how special she was.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, as far as a humble person, she was the type of woman, she knew how to, and that is a special thing, she knew how to really encourage. If there were times that I was feeling down or inadequate in an area that I was, something I needed to do, a particular, if it was a college course that I was about to tackle, she just knew the right way to encourage me, to comfort me. It was just a beautiful way she had about her. Never a fussy person. If she wanted to get her point across, it was always in such a beautiful, peaceful, smooth way. We never argued a lot. The arguments were so few and far in between, you could really count them. I mean, you know, you just couldn't remember, okay, unfortunately, there's some relationships where arguing and that type of thing is, you know, such commonplace that it's, if not every day, it's close to it. But it was just such a beautiful, beautiful reciprocal relationship. I've never met a person, honestly, so loving that has such a beautiful personality, the type of person that, quite honestly, I've seen her do this, have something on, and someone told her it was pretty. And literally like a wraparound sweater. And she gave that to the person. That was just the type of person and spirit that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just very loving, very kind. And I learned quite a lot from her. I learned quite a lot from her.
That's true love. I mean, like you said, it goes back and forth. And, you know, the yin to the yang is not a bad thing, you know?
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that you said you never had to say that she wanted me to change this, or she accepted you, and that's
oh, most definitely. And that was so real. If you could, yes, that was something that when a person accepts you for who you are, your strengths, your weaknesses, the things that you do well and some of the things that you don't do so well, it really is love. Yes.
That's a special connection. And I'm so thankful to God that you got to enjoy that for the time that you were given.
Oh, yes. I'm more thankful now than ever for that.
I can only imagine. I mean, I really got tears in my eyes. And I'm shaking, you know, because that's a gift. I mean, we talked about in Bible study about the perfect gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might seem rocky at times, but it's a gift, and you understand that it's a gift, and you
mm-hmm.
you always realize that that gift can be taken away if you don't appreciate it, you know. And then,
most definitely.
And, yeah, and I'm so glad that that bond was there because, you know, like you said, there's people that are together that aren't together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're with each other, but they're not together. I know people that keep tabs with disagreements, and
mm-hmm.
I finally got one that's going to put you in your place. Kind of,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, kind of, yeah, so
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, this episode is very special because there's a reawakening that
mm-hmm.
has to happen in this country. And sometimes, you know, sadly, someone has to lose so the masses can gain.
Yes.
And I hope that the listeners understand and appreciate and respect who and what they have in their lives and understand that it's not to be taken for granted.
Most definitely. Most definitely. If you've got a person that you love, show love and let them know that you love them. You know, what good is the love if you keep it bottled up and you don't demonstrate it? You know, then it's not really love, not only in your words, but also in your deeds. You know, allow that person mm-hmm. to see that you love them. And sometimes that takes being vulnerable. Sometimes that takes being more open. But if that's what it calls for, then that's what you have to do.
Yes. Because I said 100% is both.
Yes.
You don't do 50-50, you don't do 70-20. 100% is both. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
that scale leans one way and, you know, it may teeter another way, but it's still 100%.
That's true. There's going to be various times where each of you may be given a little more or a little less, but, you know, it all balances out.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. It all balances
now,
out.
Aside from bodybuilding,
mm-hmm.
there's something that happens when you, you know, when you overcome things like you've overcome. There's certain things that you know you get past in life when you basically get past the point of your own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you've seen change since the accident, where you said, you know, I can't see myself doing that back in the day?
Some things that have changed now that are different from prior to the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I tell you, since then, I could say I have, I think my ability to love is greater. I think my empathy is greater. When I come into contact with people, depending on the certain unique some circumstances that they've had in their life, it seems like I have the ability to touch people a little more and even understand what they're going through more from my own experience. And even when people are speaking with you, I think they have the ability to even discern that this person somehow really is connected to me. They really can understand what I've gone through. And with that being said, I think we have certain people that are assigned to us. I believe that it's just something divine where you cross paths with certain people, and you are the person that they were meant to come across to either give them advice, to help strengthen them in one particular walk or area of their life, just through your life experiences or your testimony or something that you say, you're able to impart to them. So that's where I've seen my life change the most, being able to reach other people. I feel like even before I could reach others, but now I feel like I have a greater ability to do that. And in so doing, I have greater compassion and empathy, and it just seems like my ability to love has become greater.
Amen to that. And, you know, that gives me goosebumps because I can hear a lot of her, just the way you described her, in you now,
mm-hmm.
I think, where you took on her best mm-hmm. qualities and assets. And basically, I think that's the best form of love, is to basically say, this is what you gave me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying most definitely. To be able to emulate someone, I mean, definitely, for them to leave and then you be able to take on some of their qualities, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I used to talk to my dad, and it was a good bad thing, but it was just one of those truths you have to live with. Mm-hmm. And I had told him, I said, you know, as long as you're living, I said, I doubt I'll ever be the man I'm supposed to be, because I would always deflect to him. You know, I would mm-hmm. always send it his way, because he was mm-hmm. the guy with the answers. You know, he was the role model. He was the mentor. And, you know, it kind of hurt him for me to say that. And I can understand, you know, now I understand that. But back then I was just talking out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a knock against him. It was basically saying, you are that kind of man to me. And, you know, I was thanking God for him every day, but yes. I knew I would always defer to him, because mm-hmm. he was that guy. Mm-hmm. And when he had passed on, of course, you know, those things, I still hear his voice, just like I'm sure you still hear your wife's voice on certain
oh, yeah.
things.
Oh,
you
yes.
got to dig deep. So that voice comes in.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Most definitely. Yep, sometimes you know the answer that person would give you, or the advice mm-hmm. that they would you know, share with you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it is so, it puts you at peace, because you can go back to that moment, that time, that very second. You can almost smell the air
mm-hmm.
at that time, and just, you know, say, okay, I can do this. Because, you know, there's a lot of things, like you said, that we don't really overcome fully. Sometimes we address it until we overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God that we can at least address it to where it does have to be put behind us sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Because,
that's,
you know,
true.
Living in fear just doesn't cut it.
No, it doesn't. We have to overcome fear. If it's any, you know, fear in our life, those are the areas actually at some point we do have to confront them. So we can mm-hmm. overcome that area, you know.
Yes.
Fear is definitely something we don't want to keep, you know, bottled up, or an area of our life that, you know, we always go around something because we're fearful of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just have to, you know, attack the fear. I mean, I've had plenty of instances, too many to number or name, in my own life that I, certain situations that I was fearful of, and I had to just say, you know what, this is the last time I'm afraid of this particular thing. I've got to, you know, talk about it, address it, do it, whatever, you know, it consisted of. I had to confront it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, you know, because
no.
There's a lot of times, like you said, when society's ways of saying things and doing things don't add up to the truth of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we do have those days, and there are times where you look in the mirror and you don't see the man you want to see, and
most definitely
the reflection that you want to see.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
So, you know, my goodness, what would you say to the listeners that are in that tough spot? Not the same spot that you're in. God knows I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But because there's something that has to happen, and you found it. You know, you had to dig deep, and you found it. What do you say when they, you know, when it's like you don't want to get up? Because there's a lot of times we can get up, but it's just so much happening that you don't know which way is up. Almost like what is Richard Pryor movie, or was that
mm-hmm.
Sidney Poitier, Phil Kaiser? I can't remember. Which way mm-hmm. is up?
Yes, I remember. You know, those are the times where I really had to count on my faith in God, and I really had to count on those who are around me who were truly in my corner. Most of us have at least one person who's truly in our corner. Sometimes, you know, if you're fortunate, you may have a few or a handful, but don't be afraid to, when you know you have someone that you can confide in, don't be afraid to talk about those things. Sometimes you need to let them out. If it's not just allowing that to come out, I mean, the feelings that you're having of, you know, either doubt or some type of indecision or not wanting to get up. Sometimes having someone to confide in, that helps. And for me, mm-hmm. I try to, you know, definitely I would ask God for the strength. And then I always felt as though if I would at least make the effort, I could rely on God helping me the rest of the way. So there are many days, and I mean many days, mm-hmm. I did not want to get up in the morning. It was sure. Just from depression to sadness to lack of strength, lack of direction, not knowing, like you said, which way is up. But mm-hmm. I knew, and I would tell myself, if the worst thing I could do was do nothing. And trust me, in the midst of all of this, I have made mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I would honestly say mistakes that primarily came out of, I would say, a lack of knowledge in that area or a lack of experience or just wanting to buffer the pain that I was in. Mm-hmm. But even through those mistakes, I learned, and I'm still learning. I still occasionally have moments where, you know, you come upon a circumstance or a situation that's still a little overwhelming for you, or you don't know exactly how to tackle it. And you can find yourself at times feeling the same way of, oh boy, I feel overwhelmed, or I just don't want to get out of bed. And I just honestly tell myself, if I can at least get up and start to, you know, take my shower, wake up, put one shoe on at a time. It's really going back to what I said earlier about taking one day at a time. And sometimes that has to get down to taking 1 minute at a time. Literally just say, you know what, I just got to get out of bed and take a shower. When you get done with the shower, I just need to get my clothes on. When you get done with that, I just need to, you know, get in the car and drive to the gym or get in the car and drive to work. Take it one moment at a time until you get through that particular day. And then at the end of the day, you'll see that, you know what, I didn't feel like waking up today, but I accomplished it. I went to work. I went to the gym. I helped my kids with their homework, and now it's the end of the night. Be thankful for that. Give thanks for that. And then allow yourself to say, I just need to do it one more time. Mm-hmm. I really think that's the best way to get through is just one day or one moment at a time. Muster up just enough to get through what you need to get through at the moment, and then build on that.
Well, you've made quite a foundation, I can tell you that.
Thank you.
Well, I toward the end of the show, I always like to give people the chance to give shout outs and to the people that have supported them. And I'm going to open the floor a little bit early this time because I know there's people, like you said, that have been there. And I mean, mm-hmm. like, it's one thing to say nice words, it's one thing to pat on the shoulder, but when you're going through the rehab that you went through, there are some people that were there.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. So
yep.
I'll give that time. I'll open the floor to you, and you can just have at it.
Thank you. Well, first, I want to, of course, thank God, first of all. And then from there, you know, my mother, Frances Strong, my sister, Tawana, Jenny Strong, Timmy Strong, my church family at the time, which was St. Matthew's Free Gospel Church of Christ, and the pastor there, Pastor Daniel Jones and his wife, my gym family at Strong Fitness in Waldorf. There's so many people at that time and along the way that gave me so much support. I tell you, my prosthetist, Elliot, So Fitzgerald Gordon, my friend Phil, there's just so many names and so many people. I don't know if I would even be able to accurately get through them all. My uncles and aunts and cousins, so many people who came to see me and literally hands-on take care of me. Deacon Richardson, I mean, I had so many people that would just lay by my bedside and, you know, from bringing me food to helping me use the bathroom to turning me over in my bed. It's just been so much help that hopefully, you know, for those that I haven't named, they know that I love them and, you know, they can charge it to my head and not to my heart. But I believe my list could go for a long time. But I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful for everyone, you know, that was in my corner to help. It's just, you know, it's really been a blessing for me.
Well, I'm thankful, and I'm thankful that you were willing to share this because, you know, like we both said, there's people that live in fear, and they don't want people to know that I was at such a weakened state, you know, and that I was vulnerable and you know, I'm not that Superman that I used to portray. But we've all been there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Most definitely. I think that's where so many people go wrong, and that's always been my desire. You know, some people will see you on the stage and see, like, oh, my God, you know, you seem so strong. And granted, yes, you have to be a strong person to get through, but I also want to share with you my weakness and vulnerability as well, so that when others are encountering any type of situation, that it doesn't get them down and completely wiped out to think like, you know, I feel like I can't do this on my own. I feel like I can't overcome this challenge. That's something that we all have dealt with. The strongest person, you know, on that stage, I guarantee at some point had some doubt somewhere and just found the strength to overcome it. So, you know, I thank God for the strength that he's given me and the ability to, you know, exemplify that strength physically and on stage. But I also want to share with people that, of course, there was a vulnerable and a weak time as well. And being able to navigate that, that's what you have to go through to get to the other side.
And it's like a mental muscle.
Yes.
It's got to be worked. And you don't like it, it's going to be some pain. You're going to be real sore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you make it through, there's growth and there's recovery.
Yes.
And then you basically, it's almost like rinse and repeat. Like, wait, I got dirty again? I got dirty again? Yeah, it's time to do some more work, yes.
Yep, most definitely. Most definitely.
Well,
and then when you think the work is done, there's still more to do. I'm looking at myself now and, you know, that's been one phase. And now I feel like I'm moving on to some other things, still in bodybuilding, but I still have work to do. So I'm working on myself even now as we speak.
And it's a blessing when we can sit down and share stuff like this and talk about it. And I know the listeners are more than appreciative because it takes a strong man to admit what you're saying, because this is not something that most people deal with on a regular day, because it's really a special moment in time. Thank you so much, Daniel. The fitness family is indeed strong. And, you know, I'm not just playing with your last name. It's a whole different community, and anybody that's been there has been there, and they know how to get away from the bad times and moments.
Oh, yes. And I thank you for having me and allowing me to just to share. I hope something I said has been a benefit to somebody.
I'm quite sure there's several things that you've shared. Well, Daniel, thanks so much. I'm going to let you get back to your day.
All right, and happy Father's Day to you and all.
All right, sir. All right.
Take care.
You too.